We can hear me? Okay, good. Something's squirrely around here, but let me do this. There we go. I think that'll help. Mike, I just have one question. When's fish fry? No. Our brother here, most of you probably don't know, he went fishing, took a big fall, over 12 foot, landed on a big rock, and he is so committed in catching fish that he got up and went out there, I don't know, that big, okay. It's a fish story. But this reminds me, how committed are we to catching fish for the kingdom? What are we allowing to hold us back, to sidetrack us? Oh, there's one too many weeds in the way on the path down there to the river. No, I don't want to go, right? What? He fell off a 12-foot cliff, hit a rock on his side, has a couple cracked ribs here. He's been sleeping in a chair, sitting up every night now, okay? And he still went out there and caught the fish for his family. How committed are we to the kingdom in catching fish? Food for thought, right? Good. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew chapter number 13. And we're going to continue what Pastor Mike was preaching last week. Man, we're hitting these parables one after another. Boom, boom, boom. And guess what? We're going to hit a bunch of them here today. And I said, Lord, how am I going to... I'm not going to be able to get it done in the time we need. Now, he will, I won't. But Jesus has been narrating this whole time. In Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. And he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out all of his kingdom, all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid it again. And from joy over it, he sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers. And the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? They said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things old, and things new and old. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. For your word is true, your word is just, and your word fails not. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just pray that this word is sent forth as seed into our hearts, into the good ground of our hearts, and that is planted there today. So it'll bring us some 30, some 60, some hundredfold return in due season. We just thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is narrating these parables. And he's still in Capernaum. And now he was on the boat telling all these parables. You know, like Gary, he was out boating around this whole week, you know. I said, here, I go, hey, what kind of fish you catch? He says, we didn't even put it. No, we were just boating around. He got this big, huge motor now. We were just flying around. So maybe that's what Jesus was doing. I don't know. But Jesus is there. He's in the boat. He's telling the people, talking to them and preaching to them in parables. And then he leaves that and he goes back to the house that he's staying in. And this is what we see here in starting with verse 33. Now, he spoke this parable, and it says in verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Do I got any bakers in the house? One baker. Okay, I know who. Oh, two. Three. All right. I know she can bake because she does a great job at our community group. Yeah. All right. So if you don't bake, maybe you might not understand this, but leaven is like yeast, all right? And you mix in the yeast in with the flour with warm water so it will rise, all right? Now, some of you may have been taught that yeast can mean evil because, you know, it sneaks in and does its thing, but in this particular parable, it's going to mean something else. It means when yeast or leaven is put in flour, and when they say 3 pecks, they're talking about 6 pounds of flour. Yeah, a lot. They're going to make more bread than we can eat in one setting here, right? But when they put it in there, so what does that yeast do? Yes, you add a little bit of sugar, you add some warm water, and then you mix it all up, and then what does that start doing? It starts to rise. What yeast or leaven does, it permeates the flour. Okay? It's working from the inside out so that the bread will rise. Now, if you've ever had flatbread, and some people like flatbread, I'm not a big fan, but some of them are, there's no rising. It's just flour and everything is just flat, right? It's a thick and heavy bread. But when you add the yeast in there, it causes it to rise. It makes it nice and light and airy, and if it's done well, it tastes like angel's food, nice and delightful in this case. But Jesus spoke this parable, and you're going, okay. And all these things, Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. It was fulfilled, was spoken by the prophet. In this case, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Psalm chapter 78. It is actually, most of us aren't taught that ASAP, A-S-A-P, he is the one who wrote most of the Psalms. Yes, David would tell him to write some of them, but ASAP was the major song writer, okay? And so they consider him a prophet for his ability, because a lot of, in the Psalms, there's a lot of propheticness in it, speaking about the future. So in Psalm 72 and 8 says, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. Ooh, now think about that. The hidden things of old. Sometimes in your Bibles it may say that, okay? So keep this in mind as we go through the lesson here today, because it's all going to be tied in together. Now, Pastor Mike, last week he ended up with the parable of the mustard seed, right? And most of us know this. The mustard seed, it is the smallest of all seeds. It's so teeny weeny tiny little thing, you know. Oh, well, you can barely tell you got it in your finger. But you plant it in a good soil, you water it, you take care of it, and it grows into this nice little bush. And then birds like to get in there and do their thing there and get protection, eat food and stuff like this. But what is this? What does the mustard seed show us? The mustard seed shows us extensive growth. To grow. Now, we find that these parables come in pairs. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven go together. So I want you to note this. It's important for each of us to understand this, because we are members of the kingdom. Sometimes we view us ourselves as just lowly, insignificant, little. Who am I in this great big kingdom? You are that mustard seed that can grow big in the kingdom. You are that leaven that gets to permeate throughout the congregation, throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the communities, and causes it to rise. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Gets me excited, because when I start thinking about this, I go, what? What? Our community can rise? Yes. This little itty-bitty tiny little church, our goal is to be like that leaven and permeate the neighborhoods, the communities of Ault and surrounding areas. That's our goal. We want to permeate it with the Word of God, with Jesus Christ, so that this will rise up like a mustard seed to become big and strong for the kingdom. Doesn't it sound like a good thing? I think I'm preaching to myself this morning, aren't I? Yeah. You guys are going, what? Yeah. Well, let's go on down to the next one then. Verse 36, and after the crowds left and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares. Now, last week, Pastor Mike read about the parable of the tares. If you were here, and there was a lot of people here, so I'm going to just pick up where he left off. Do I need to be like in school and have to go back and reteach this thing to you? I wouldn't have enough time. You remember that, right? Okay. So Jesus now is teaching them. Jesus is the sower. Notice, Jesus is not the seed in this one. Why? Yeah, because we're so used to Jesus being the seed, the word, right? We need to plant the word in our lives. But in this case, Jesus is the Son of Man. That's what he also went by. And he is the sower. He's sowing the seed. Now, it says the world is the field. The field is the world is the field. Now, think about what Pastor Mike talked about last week. There's hard ground. There's rocky ground. There's good ground. One thing I don't think he talked about is there's fallow ground. What? Yeah, fallow ground. For those of you who don't know, farmers, now they don't do much of that anymore. When I was growing up as a kid, that tells you about how old I am. They used to, man, farmers would say, okay, 2 years in the week because I'm from Kansas. The year after that, they don't do nothing. They let it rest. And then they might come in with a year of, corn was not a thing back home when I grew up as a kid. All right, the only people who grew corn was the people who could irrigate out of the river, and that was a long ways away from us. So we grew Milo, Sudan grass, cane. And then they would grow that, and then they went right back to wheat again. And then they let it rest. Fallow ground is when it's resting. It's that season of rest in our lives. Sometimes we need that season of rest to get us refocused. Why do we let the ground rest? Because we want the ground to get rejuvenated. We want the life under the soil to start to take root and hold again in there. Get the moisture built back up. Get the nutrients built back up. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to break up the fallow ground and plant seed to get growth. And that first year after summer fallow, there's always great growth. In our lives, if you're going through a season of, I'm saved, I love Jesus, but I'm resting right now. Hosea says, it's time. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. It's time to get to work. Jesus says that he is the sower. He is the one that's planting the seed onto that ground you just broke up. And pastor says, you have to decide, what kind of ground are you? Ooh. When I heard that, I said, ooh. I'm going, ouch, here, brother. Yeah. Because do we rejoice? Hey, brother. Brother Mike, man, that was an excellent message last week. Oh, man, that was great. But during work, people ask you about it, and you go, well, it was all right. We went, he did a good job, Man, you're backpedaling fast. What is that? The seed went on the rocky soil. Because, you get questioned about it. And guess what? You start backpedaling. You see? Oh, you rejoice immediately, but you had no depth. We want the word to get depth. Some of you are going, what did he preach about last week? I forgot. That's the hard ground. You forgot already. Oh, wow. But here Jesus is planting. Now, so the world, it doesn't say what kind of ground the world is, does it? I had to reread that. It just says the world is the ground. So Jesus spreads a seed into this world. Now, the next thing it goes, it says, these are the sons of the kingdom are what is being planted. The sons of the kingdom. Who, Brother Mike, who's the son of the kingdom? Us. Yes. All of us who would confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and believe in our heart. We are sons of the kingdom. We are a planting of God. And Jesus Christ planted us. Yes. Into this world. And you're going, what? Why would he do that? Because he loves us. And then guess what's going to happen next? It says, and the tares, now, tares, a.k.a. darnel. So some translations might have darnel. It's the same thing. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. So who are the sons of the evil one? I'm back in teach mode, so I ask questions here. Who's sons of the evil one? Come on, help. What? Enemies of God. And what? The tares are mixed in with the good seed, which is us. So we're going to grow up with and around us enemies of our Father. Wow. Okay. And the devil is the one who sowed them. And guess when he first sowed it? In the garden, when he lied to Eve. Yes. Ooh. But you see, this is why. Understand, you're going, well, Jesus, God, you saved me. Okay, you put me here, but why do I have all this negative stuff happening to me? Am I the only one ever asked this question? You go through stuff, right? You're going, I didn't do anything. Why is this stuff happening to me? Because you're growing right up, you're growing up right next to a tear, an enemy of the kingdom. And there's causing these problems. Now, if you would take this as for a farmer, those tares are sucking up the nutrients, the water, just like the wheat is or the good seed is. So we're sucking up nutrients, we're sucking up water, but so are they. And they want to suck the life out of you. Woo! Think about that. If you've ever tried to plant your yard, new grass in there, man, you got to get rid of all the weeds, don't you? Because if not, the weeds come up and no good grass comes up now, does it? No, you got to get rid of it. But Jesus says, no, leave it. Because he wants you and I to grow up spiritually in the kingdom, learning and knowing how to deal and handle the enemy. Oh, some of you are like, what? No? Yes, you. That's your job. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, that's what our Father wants. That's what he says. He gave us three commandments to trust him in. To love me, to love your brother, and to make disciples. Three commandments. And you have to trust. God, you mean that guy, that co-worker of mine who lies about me, who takes what I say and runs to the boss and twists it? Yeah. You're supposed to love them. What? How? They're mean. They're ugly. I'd much rather get rid of them. I know. It'd be great just to get rid of them, right? It will happen. Just not now. Why? Because our Father wants us to learn how to trust in him, to hope in him, how to take this word and apply it into our lives, because we're going to grow up. We are growing up with them. We're going to produce fruit. And unfortunately, they're going to produce fruit. But it's our fruit that's going to give life in abundance. Their fruit only brings death and destruction. Now, it's interesting, and Pastor didn't go into this. How did the farmers back in Jesus' day separate the wheat from the tares? They had many different methods, but one of them was they would reap it all in and take the stems that had all the seeds and just rub everything like on a blanket. And then they get a guy on each end, and they toss it up in the air, and they allow the wind, the breeze, to come and blow the chaff away. But here's the interesting thing. The tares did not have enough nutrients in them, so they were extremely light. So the wind just blew that away also. So they kept tossing it in the air. And you're that wheat. And you're going, well, wait a minute. I'm still getting tossed in the air. I don't like getting tossed in the air. They didn't toss me just once. It was repeated over and over and over again until they got the tares out of there. And then, did they come and help me first? No. He says, what did they do first? They went and took care of the tares first and tossed them into the burning fire. Yes. So sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel, God, man, I'm on like a ship in a storm here going to and fro. What's going on here, Lord? And when you come to see, you're taking care of this other business. And here I am going, Lord, what's going on? He says, I never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you at all times. I am there. Just trust in me. Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in this world. Quit trusting in all these other things. Just love me, and I love you. I will see you through. I am your hope. That's what God is saying. I am your hope. And the harvest is the end of the age. Well, the end of the age, has it come yet? I know some of us think, oh my goodness, the way our country's going, it looks like the end of the age. We don't know when it is, even though it's coming every day, every second. We're getting closer to the end of the age. I don't know when it is. But when the end of the age comes, notice what's going to happen here. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And the angels will be sent forth, and they're going to get rid of the tares of our lives. We're going to go, oh man, I don't have to worry about the enemy being around me again here. Beautiful. Because it goes on to say here, so just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Now, if you have your Bibles, I know this is a book that we rarely ever get into. Find Zephaniah. Yeah. I've heard of Zechariah, I know, but he's just before. That's Zephaniah. Yes. Zephaniah chapter 1, starting with verse 2. I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. What's God going to do? He's going to remove all things. I will remove man and beast. I will remove the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the ruins along with the wicked. And I will cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. We're not, when he comes back again, we're going to be going to our heavenly bodies. We don't have to worry about being man any longer. We're going to be walking in that sonship. Permanently and real time. Here we have to put up with man body, dirt of the earth. Jesus is going to come and remove all the stumbling blocks that keep us, the righteous, from shining forth in this darkness. That is what is going to take place here. In verse 42, back in Matthew 13, and I will throw them in the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will what? They will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. See, that's what's going to happen to us as the righteous. Yes, we got to put up with the tares of this world. We got to put up with all the nonsense of this world. We're here because the devil planted all the nonsense around us. He snuck in. He was not invited to do this, but he did. And this is what's given us all these problems. But our guy says, I have the plan. And that's why he gave us Jesus. This is his parable. Now, let me continue here on the hidden treasure in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in the field. Field? Man, we've been talking about dirt and fields, which a man found and hid again. What? Hid again? Let's face it. I could ask Justice this. If you're out working your field, boy, and you see, boom, you see your implement pop up out of the ground, go, what's going on there? So you stop, you go over there, and you find this big old huge chest of gold coins. Are you going to go and rehide it in that field again? No. He's going to go, Debbie, bring that pickup out here right now. Hey, you might need the front end loader. Forget the pickup. Bring the front end loader. Boy, we need to lift this bad boy out here. Man, see what we've just uncovered, right? Man, we get all excited. But Jesus says here in this parable, a hidden treasure in a field which a man found, and he hid again. I'm going, man, Lord, that just don't make sense. I'm taking it home. But, and I know you're going, yeah, there's always going to be a but. You have to understand Jewish culture. This guy was working somebody else's land. It was not his land. Their culture says that whatever you find in that land belongs to the landowner. And so, that's why he hid it again. Now notice, the way it's phrased, he hid it again. Well, he wasn't going to put it right back there again. He found another spot in the field that nobody would see, and he dug the hole and put it in there. Because he's following Jewish culture and laws. This is why. Notice. Which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. How many of you found Jesus? One person. Thank you, brother. You and I, the only one who found Jesus. Everyone else is either asleep or still wondering where Jesus is. No, let's face it. When you got saved, well, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Yeah, okay, I'm good. Were you like that? How were you like that, brother? You were excited, weren't you? Thank you, Jesus. You got joy. You found the treasure that your heart so desperately needed. That hole that was in your heart got filled the second you invited Jesus in. Woo! Yes. And you got excited. Ah. And from joy, aka excitement, over it, he sells all that he has to buy that field. Why did he buy the field? That way he can pull out the treasure. What are you willing to sell for the kingdom? Ooh. Brother, did you have to say that? Did you have to go there? Well, logically thinking this through, look at this guy. He sold everything. Were you willing to sell everything for the kingdom? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer that one out loud. I want you to think on that. Chew on it. What are you willing to give up for the kingdom? Now, remember we said that parables get paired together. So here's its partner. In verse 45, again, The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, people come to the Lord in different ways. Some people are looking for something because they're tired, they're sick and tired of the life they're living. I know my brother can say that because his testimony, you ought to hear it. How many people you know get saved in the middle of Home Depot parking lot and nobody around but him because he was seeking something? And he's been filled with it ever since because he found it. Others of us, I'm in the jail. There's a speaker. Well, let's go because nothing else going on here but walking these four walls. So we go. And then guess what? How many of those ladies, they find Jesus? They weren't looking for him yet, but they did find him. See, there's the two ways that happen here. You either discover Jesus along your journey, or you are searching for Jesus along your journey. All of us are there. Well, brother, I know people who, they're atheists. Yeah. I haven't found an honest atheist in my life. Man, I bet you they're driving that car. What out here, what you were telling me happened yesterday out here? That truck went right up underneath that 18-wheeler. Vroom. I bet you when they're seeing those wheels right 2 foot in front of them, oh, God, help me, God. Yeah. There's not a true atheist in the world. They're going to turn to God in a heartbeat. So what are we doing? Are we giving everything we have for the kingdom because we were wanting that emptiness filled, that feeling lost, removed? Oh, why am I here, Lord? And now you have purpose. If you're a Christian and you ain't got purpose, come talk to me after service. We'll work on that one. All of us have purpose in the kingdom. We all have a job to do. Okay? And if you're feeling empty right now because you don't know what your job is, that's your purpose. You need to find that job because that will start bringing completeness in your life. Because now you're going to find the purpose that you got saved to do. There's work to do in the kingdom. Coming to church is great. You need to do it every week. But this isn't the kingdom. The kingdom's work is out there. A dragnet. Now, my wife, she's back there teaching Sunday school, and she was putting my notes there into the bulletin. She's going, what's a dragnet? And the first thing that comes to mind, how many remember the movie, the TV series back in the 70s, Dragnet? Yeah, it shows all of our ages, I know. It was a great show. So what a dragnet is you get two boats, big net. You put rocks or weighted items on the bottom of the net, and you drop it. And the boats are on top with the top part of the net. And then they start rowing, and they're dragging that whole net along. Okay, so as they moved along the shoreline there, right? We got that picture, I hope? And so when that net fills, they're not that far from shore. They come and they drag it on the shore. And they have all of these fish in there. Hey, my brother caught, he says this big. I'm thinking probably more like this, but I think that could feed me and my family. I'm going to put it over here. Oh, man, that's a catfish. Get rid of that nasty looking thing there. I know you guys love catfish. I know that. But them little cellar dwellers, they eat all the junk food on the bottom. I'm just messing with you guys. But they're just sitting there. They're throwing it. I'm keeping all the good fish here, and all the junk fish we're going to toss over here because we're just going to get rid of them. And that's what they're doing. So here's the parable of the dragnet. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it onto the beach, and they sat down and gathered good fish into containers about the bad, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from amongst the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many times do you have to hear, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth for the wicked? Okay? Now, I had an interesting conversation with a brother. He says, well, what about a good person who hasn't accepted Jesus? Do you think, I get it. In this human flesh, we got to be so kind to people and compassionate. I get it. So we think, these are good people, even though they didn't accept Jesus. Are you sure they're going to go to hell and have weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, let me put it to you this way. If they are not a planting of God as sons of the kingdom into the field, if they're not that, they are the other. And this has clearly told us three times what's going to happen. But that's not right. That is the devil lying to you that it's not right. That's like what he was telling Eve. Oh, you're not going to die if you eat that fruit. Your eyes are going to be open. He's lying to her. Yeah, they're going to be open all right. And she didn't die right then and there like we think of death. But it did bring death into the world, did it not? You see, we have to get past our feelings and emotions in the kingdom and trust God's word. You have to trust that God Almighty is a good God, a righteous God. You have to trust he knows what he's doing. And besides, Brother Marvin here, he always tells us, if you talk about being good, he said, there's no one good. No, not one. He's right, I ain't good. Don't be looking at me for goodness, I'm sorry. I failed you every second of the day, unfortunately. No one's good but our Father. He is good. So when you start talking about good people, those good people need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right. I'm winding it down now. Oh, I better turn the page too. Oh, here it is. The conclusion. Oh, no, the conclusion. Yes, he's going to be done here. As I heard one pastor says, but I have many conclusions. Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 through 52. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked to his disciples, and they said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What were Jewish scribes? They were people who knew the law. They knew the Torah. That was their job. They were very legalistic. They knew everything about the Torah. Okay? That is the old. The disciples now have just become the new scribes because they're hanging out with the Word. And they're learning everything about the Word. And what is the Word bringing to them? new things, the hidden things, the things that were hidden from the general populace. But to them, he revealed the hidden secrets. Ooh. And so as they learned at the feet of Jesus, they became the new scribes of the kingdom of heaven. They knew the old. This is why Matthew's going back to Zephaniah. That's why he goes back to these other verses and he pulls them up into, hey, this is what's being fulfilled today. That's the old. But now he also brings up the hidden things about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Ooh. So today, I need to come back here. Here we go. These new scribes are teaching us a very important thing. Jesus started all of these parables and started talking to his disciples with the Sermon on the Mount. And is leading us, and we're getting near this conclusion of all the teachings before he heads to the cross. And this is the goal of all of these teachings. It is a hard road of discipleship that must eventually lead. You see, we decide to go through that narrow gate, to go through that narrow path, to go to Jesus. That path is the path of discipleship, because that's the only thing that's going to lead us to our Savior, is discipleship. Just like the disciples were going through, they knew that was the only thing that was going to lead them into the kingdom. And that path gets hard. Discipleship training gets hard. We don't get it. We don't have a 12-week course here on discipleship and say, you're done, you're good. Uh-uh. It is a lifelong task to be discipled, to learn, to grow, to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to have testimonies that overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Oh, man. You want to have testimonies, those co-workers who are ugly and mean to you? Stay on that path of discipleship training. Trust God with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Trust him. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because what's going to happen? You're going to get new testimonies. You're going to be able to bring in more fish, good fish, into the kingdom. Then you're going to convert those tares into good wheat for the kingdom. Oh, so when they're gathered in, they're going to be gathered with you and not be thrown into the lake of fire. But you're going to become like a sheep, and that Jesus, our judge, is going to say, my sheep know my voice. You go to the right. That's what we want. Woo, glory. I want you to know that Jesus loves each and every one of you, and we love you. And he wants to encourage you. The road is hard. There's going to be roadblocks, stumbling blocks, everything in your way. And when you get tired of them, don't try to go over them, around them on your own. Get on your hands and knees and go to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will guide you through or around every one of those stumbling blocks that the evil one wants to throw your way, so that you can reach your ultimate destination, Jesus Christ. Let us stand. You might be going, man, Brother Carey, you sound really evangelistic today. Honestly, I had no idea I was going to head this direction. But this is what the Holy Ghost wanted. So if you get mad at me, you can shoot me an email. Don't blow up Pastor Mike's email. He just got back from Springfield, got back from Alaska. He doesn't need his inbox blown up. Just blow up mine, okay? And I'm going to be like a penguin. I'm going to smile and wave at you. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here. I just pray that your seed that went forth went onto good ground. I pray that your people, which are called by your name, will allow the gentle rain of the Holy Spirit onto their lives, onto their hearts, to water the seed that was planted so that it'll produce some good fruit to them in due season. Bless your people. Bless this church. And I pray that we will humbly continue to do your good will and your pleasure, Lord. In Jesus' name,